What is up, basketball fans? Welcome to another live edition of the NBA Outlet. We are recapping Game 4. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron, and regular on the Outlet, Jack Manuel. Guys, how are we doing after that surprising Game 4?
All that matters on NBA Twitter apparently right now is that Jack takes legible, or illegible according to Corey, handwritten notes about NBA games.
Yeah, I mean, the Warriors lost home court. Or not home court. They lost. Well, yeah, technically they lost home court advantage.
Yeah, they did.
They didn't have it in the first place.
Well, no, technically they did because they stole a game on the road, right? Doesn't start until you lose on the road. And, you know, as we saw tonight, doesn't matter. This is the last series in Oakland. They just didn't have the juice.
Could Paul Pierce be right is the real question about this game. But before we get started, quick reminder, check us out, iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. Also, check out DesignTree/OffTheGlass. We got great t-shirts over there, and we are giving away a Kawhi Leonard Cyborg t-shirt. Link posted in the YouTube chat if you want to check it out. All you have to do is leave a comment and a question, or either or, and we'll pick a random winner at the end of the show, and we'll be sending that to you for free. But guys, obviously, Game 4, Raptors now up 3-1. Took the W 105-92 in Golden State. How do we feel about this game? I know personally, I was a little surprised. I'm not going to lie.
I think little surprised is an understatement, Nick. I was confident as just an NBA pundit, an NBA lover, that, you know, Klay Thompson heading back, Kevon Looney surprisingly, miraculously getting out there with a collarbone injury. He's just superhuman with what he's doing out to even be out there. I was like, okay, well, this is the bodies that they need. You know, you take away those minutes from guys like Jonas Jerebko and the rest, then they're going to be okay. And they'll be able to get that win in one of their final games at Oracle Arena. And it looked that way in the first half, but the second half was a different story, a tale of two halves.
I know when we finished the recap for Game 3, I had the Warriors winning Game 4. I just felt like the Warriors weren't going to lose. And earlier today, I don't know what it was, I saw Kevon Looney was going to play tonight, and I immediately thought, the Warriors are losing tonight. I don't know what made me think it. I don't know why that
was. Really hate Kevon Looney.
I don't know why that was the notification that pushed me over. Tonight, they both came out. Both teams were very sloppy in that first, no one scored in the first 3 minutes of the game, it felt like, or at least 2.5 minutes. We saw the Warriors get exposed a little bit, and we saw the Raptors get heavily led by Kawhi Leonard for the first half, and then second half, everybody started hitting shots. I mean, it was a really dominant win by the Raptors, and it was impressive. I mean, they took care of business on the road.
Yeah, it really was, and you mentioned the energy that Golden State started with in the game, especially defensively. You didn't really see that in the second half. Also, Toronto did a great job of just hanging around, getting to the free throw line, and then obviously Kawhi Leonard took it to another level. But that third quarter, you know, they had a third quarter that was superior to the Golden State on a different level. They beat them 37-21 in that third, and obviously that was a huge difference in the game. When it got to the fourth, it just almost felt like, I don't want to say Golden State gave up, but they just lost like that juice and that like swagger that we're used to seeing them have.
You know who didn't have the swagger tonight? And I'd like to hear your thoughts on, boys. Stephen Curry. What did you guys think of his performance?
Yeah, I mean, 27 points tonight, 4 rebounds, 6 assists. Definitely just didn't look as locked in as he was in Game 3. Obviously, I think they wanted to get Klay involved early because I thought they gave Klay a lot of touches, especially in that first quarter, to get him going, which I thought was fine. But Curry just never really got a rhythm. They've been throwing, you know, as we know, a lot of pressure on him defensively, not giving him a lot of clean looks to begin with. But he was just off tonight. And I don't really like take anything away from Curry. He played 44 minutes in Game 3. Not that there should be an excuse for being tired when you get some days off between games, but he struggled tonight for sure.
I give more credit to the Raptors. I think the Raptors just took him out of his game. They are just extra physical. Like, and we've seen this in the past. If you're allowed to get away with a lot of the contact they got away with tonight with Steph Curry on and off ball, you're going to have success against them. Memphis did it in the past. Marcus Gasol knows about that. Cleveland, when they beat Golden State, they were really good in just making his life miserable. They did that tonight. You know, Nick Nurse deserves credit throwing different looks at him. But overall, I mean, he didn't get in a lot of calls, in my opinion, but it was just the refs aren't going to call it. You just got to keep being physical with him and keep pulling, pushing, whatever it may be. And I felt like there was a lot of contact, and it just took him out of his game. I think in the third quarter, he got a foul call, and you could see the frustration because he was just getting grabbed, pulled on the entire game. And I think it just takes a toll on you. You just get annoyed.
Go ahead, Jack.
I was just going to say on Nick's point, I think the physicality really ramped up from the Toronto Raptors in that third quarter. And I think that that was what really got Golden State out of sync. And they really had an opportunity, I think, in that first half to build a sort of double-digit lead. And I think that the Raptors, similarly in previous games as well, have done that as well. And it seems like, you know, if you're up at the half, it doesn't really mean much in this final series. And I think, yeah, the physicality, nothing was getting called. And I think it led to frustration, not only from Steph, but especially from Draymond. And I mean, we could talk about him before Corey gets his, when Corey gets his taken. But yeah, it was just a really frustrating night for a lot of the Golden State Warriors key guys.
I mean, you look at the free throws, and obviously, like, the free throws can kind of lie because the Raptors shot 24, the Warriors shot 21. But, I mean, they really let these guys play tonight. I mean, this was one of the more physical games I've seen in the last couple of weeks in the playoffs where they just weren't calling stuff. Or some of the stuff I felt like they did call was really ticky-tacky just because I felt like they needed to call something.
I hate that, too. That's, like, the absolute worst. They let them play through, like, major contact, and they call these, like, stupid little fouls. It's, like, the most frustrating thing.
Yeah. And I think when the game is allowed to be this physical, this is a clear advantage for the Toronto Raptors when these guys can be really physical with the Warriors. Because I mentioned, you know, Curry getting banged around a lot. Like, Fred VanVleet was awesome tonight before he got hurt. Against Curry, just being really physical. Like we mentioned on a previous show, like the Dellavedova type, so I'm going to be a pest and constantly in your space. I thought Ibaka was really good again off the bench. It just, when the game gets physical, it favors the Raptors because especially with how banged up the Warriors are right now, you don't want to get into that kind of like physical competition.
Yeah, and you look at just this is long-term for Golden State. You look at them, they've had so many minutes and mileage on them, going to so many finals, having all these deep playoff runs, and being a man down. And obviously that had an impact in the series. And guys probably playing a little bit more than they're used to in terms of minutes and just overall usage because you're missing one of your key players who has a ton of shots, a ton of looks, and the ball in his hands a lot.
Lads, what do you think of this take from Skip Bayless himself, the takesman? Steph was pathetic. Draymond was pathetic. Iggy was pathetic. DeMarcus was pathetic. The Warriors bench was pathetic. Ooh.
I mean, you can say it was pathetic. Most of these guys didn't play well. I mean, Draymond didn't play well. I thought he had some nice defensive moments for sure. The one chase down block behind Kyle Lowry, I thought was really good. And then, of course, you know, we mentioned Curry already. Cousins, I mean, at this point, like, we got a really good game two from him, and that was probably the most we were going to get. I mean, he just doesn't look that good. He looks out of shape. He just doesn't look comfortable moving around out there. We didn't see him at all in the second half. Tweaked something in the first half. I know he went back to the locker room, and that was the last time we saw him on the floor. Livingston, he's retiring. We know that this is the end. Iguodala, Max Kellerman, if you trust this man saving the earth with his jump shot, God bless you, because I don't want him taking it. I don't want him taking it. Quinn Cook gets 5 shots in 6 minutes. It was just a bad team effort, man. This team is, as Nick mentioned, off wax. They really need another shooter on this team.
And I think, like, not even just not having KD, if they had maybe an all-star level replacement or someone who was just, like, above average to fill in for him, they'd look a lot better. But the drop-off, which we were talking about off-wax, was between KD and the next guy they have is probably not a starting level player. Even Iguodala at this point is probably not a starter. He's best as more of, like, a six-man type role. So, I mean, that's a big issue. And I think a lot of the Warriors played bad. I don't even think Steph played that bad. I thought Clayton obviously played well, but everyone else was kind of bad, except Kevon Looney, I thought, had, you know, some major toughness tonight.
Yeah, and I just want to say, yeah, Clay was for sure. And I think the one thing I want to say just about McKinney, I think McKinney tries really hard, but I think he has potential to be a good role player, but this is not the matchup for him against Kawhi. This is not the series for him because on almost, I don't know how many buckets Kawhi had on McKinney, but it felt like every time Kawhi had him, it was one of those, I'm licking my chops and I'm going to go to town on this kid.
Yeah, I think that he can. Yeah, barbecue chicken. I think he can do that on probably anyone in this league. His mid-range shot is money. Like, it's something. I mean, the Michael Jordan comparisons were made by Doc Rivers and probably, you know, 90% of NBA Twitter in general. But the dude just knows how to get buckets. And there were just some times where there was some really fractured plays. The one that sticks out was when there was the jump ball with Marc Gasol and Stephen Curry. And Gasol gets the really nice little tap ahead. There's like a 0.9 second or 2 seconds left on the clock. And Kawhi just finds a spot and just goes bang and hits that mid-range shot. He's just so smooth and composed. Probably one of the most composed players in the league and of all time, maybe even. I think that it's his demeanor. But as well, I'd love to just peek into the beautiful brain of the fun guy himself, Kawhi Leonard.
the board man. I think it's just really hard to disrupt him out of his like feng shui when he's in that, you know, mode, just in that mid range. He just feels like no matter who's in front of him, he had Draymond and Iguodala, like it's just really not contesting his shot. It's just like he's completely locked in. And this game, he was so locked in, you felt like if it was going to be a close game, Kawhi was going to kind of get the W for the Raptors over the Dubs. And that's not something you've expected in the past.
See, and I had this feeling at some point in the fourth quarter, like Kawhi in game three had a very quiet 30 points. Like if you had told me he had 30, I would have been like, wow, it feels like he has like 18, 20. Because that's just the collective team effort. Like tonight, this was a very loud 36 points. Like this was a complete dominant game. I mean, he scored the first 14 of the Raptors' 17 points in that first quarter. It just felt like one of those games where the superstar was going to be the guy to carry you home.
And a lot of guys played, you know, not great for Toronto in terms of shooting. You know, Serge Ibaka shot well, 9 of 12, but then you look Siakam, 6 of 14, Lowry, 3 of 12, Marcus Gasol, 3 of 8, Fred VanVleet, 3 of 9, Danny Green, terrible, 1 of 8 from the field, 1 of 7 from 3. So they really needed him to be big, and he was big when they needed him the most in the series.
Does this solidify for you guys? I mean, I think that just a conversation about these two players alone, is Kawhi, and I know Corey and I will be going into plenty of detail for the top 50, is Kawhi maybe not the best player in the league right now, but is he better than Stephen Curry? Is he better than one of the greatest offensive players of all time?
Yeah. I think I'll say it without a question, and I think I don't want to even say it's biased. The fact that Kawhi is such a good defender already, and then you throw in the fact that he's an offensive threat who can give you 30 points in any given night. He's a very good rebounder. I just think there's more pros right now than Kawhi. I think Curry's probably the better offensive player still. But I think if you're looking at all-around talent, Kawhi, to me, just is a five-tool player.
Yeah, I think it's close. I mean, you could probably give the nod to Kawhi right now, but I think if you look at it in, like, a different month, you might go to Steph Curry. Because if you swap players right now, like, if you were to put Steph on Toronto and put Kawhi on Golden State, who's winning the series, just considering what's up with Kevin Durant, I still think Golden State's probably losing because there's just so many injuries and the depth's not great. And if you're putting Curry on Toronto, they have so many veterans or high basketball IQ, they're going to get the most of him, especially running off screens with a guy like Marc Gasol.
Yeah, I think it harks back to a little bit of a really wild conversation Nick and I had on the Buzz about just point guards in general and wings and the value in today's modern NBA. It's probably why I would also have probably Kawhi Leonard as well. I think that, you know, going into the preseason, I know Nick Busey, co-host of JBT, was incredibly low on Kawhi Leonard. I was always quietly optimistic about his chances to get back to, you know, the real elite superstar range, which he is at now. And sort of, you know, he's in the top five, top six. You know, you can juggle him around. I think it's hard to sort of say off the top of your head. And by the end of that, he could be a finals MVP, and two-time finals MVP. And, you know, it just adds to his accolades and adds to his narrative and resume even further. So I think Stephen Curry, is there too much, I guess, to flip it on its head, is Stephen Curry a lackluster postseason performer to you guys?
Nah, I think I'm good with that narrative after the way he played last round and even game three in the first couple of games of this year. I think he's flipped that script. I don't call him a fluky postseason player. He showed up to me this year.
But I think I was just going to say, Nick, I think for me, I don't think so either. But I think when the moment needs for him to sort of step up and sort of be that guy, a lot of the time he hasn't. And that's a criticism of him that I think is valid. I don't think the criticism of him being a bad postseason performer is valid. But, you know, in the OKC series, it was Klay Thompson that got them out of jail. Today, it could have been Klay Thompson again that got them out of jail. So I think that there are valid criticisms of Stephen Curry's moments when he needs to step up. He hasn't had the ability to do so. Obviously, those moments are few and far between.
I think for Steph, you have to take a deeper look at his game to look at his impact. Because, like, yeah, Klay might have had a better game, but Steph's getting double the attention that Klay Thompson is getting in a basketball game. We saw that tonight in game four. He's getting more attention off ball. He's getting more attention on ball. I think gravity is just, like, the key word with Steph, and you hear it a lot. And that was apparent tonight. And I think is when you don't have other guys to, like, take some of the attention off of Steph, it's hard for him to activate. So Steph's hard if he doesn't have a good team around him. But I think if he has a good team around him, it's like times 10. You know what I mean? Because he's making so many people better because you just have to give him so much attention because you don't want him to get hot. Where if you're in a situation where there's only like two good players and only two good shooters on the floor, it's going to be easier to kind of take him down. You're like, all right, Klay might get hot, but Steph's not getting hot. And now we're probably going to win this game.
But in that same sort of vein, you know, Stephen Curry hasn't really gotten doubled as much as I would say.
He's gotten a lot of attention.
As much as Kawhi this series? As much as
Kawhi? I would say off-ball he's gotten more attention.
Yeah, off-ball. But and I think that's
just as much of an impact, though. Like, if you're getting attention off-ball and you don't even have the ball in your hands, you're making life easier for the person with the ball in their hands. The thing that's ruining Golden State right now is Iguodala can't shoot, Draymond can't shoot. Whoever's playing center can't shoot. So now all of a sudden, all you have to do worry is about two guys at the three-point line. Then you look at the Raptor side, everybody can shoot. Even if you're not respecting Siakam and Gasol to the highest extent, you're still respecting them way more than you're respecting Draymond, Iguodala, DeMarcus Cousins, Andrew Bogut, Kevon Looney, McKinney. Like, the entire Golden State roster is not getting any respect to the three-point line, and that just kills you. Spacing is everything.
Yeah, I would just say to add on to that, there's no one on the Raptors you feel comfortable leaving wide open from three, where I feel like for the Warriors, there's plenty of guys where you think, all right, if he's wide open, like, I'm not killing myself if Iggy's shooting a wide open three or Quinn Cook or any of those guys.
You're getting way more you're getting punished more for double teaming Kawhi Leonard than you are for Steph Curry. Steph's forced to pass the ball away where Kawhi can pass it away. And you saw a couple times tonight where maybe he's not necessarily getting the assist. He's hitting Gasol, then Gasol's hitting Siakam. And it's just like, the basketball IQ for Toronto has really stuck out for me, not only defensively with the rotations, which really stuck out against Milwaukee, but the passing this series. All right, we watch tape. We see whether they're going to double team Kawhi from where and what, and then we're going to throw it to him. He's going to make a cut there. Boom, we just got an easy basket, or we got an open three, which we saw a lot in the first half, and they just missed a lot of open threes.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to that game two loss, right, where Iggy hits that three, and they kind of force the ball out of Curry's hand. I mean, the Raptors, they're going to live with that shot all day if they're having Iggy take a shot like that, and we've kind of seen that throughout the entire series where they'd rather just have somebody besides Curry or Klay beat you.
I think the passing, you know, as a general sort of topic, was outstanding in the second half by the Toronto Raptors. Their execution, their ability to make that extra read. I thought Kyle Lowry was sensational in that sort of department. When the double was coming for Kawhi, sort of harking back to that, and other guys, you know, getting sort of trapped in certain sort of areas, they were able to make those passes. Whereas I think in the first half, they're a little bit flustered. Golden State were just executing a little bit better on the defensive end. So I think that it's almost, it's not, I don't know, I haven't watched the game as intently as you guys, obviously, because of the timing of it, but it seems to me that the better passing team on any given night seems to have the better performance and seems to get the win. But tonight, it was certainly the case, at least.
Yeah, I think it's better passing. And then also the fact is, like, when you have to respect the passes, you know what I mean? Like, Toronto's making a lot of passes at places where the guys are able to attack or be aggressive, where Golden State's having to make passes to guys where you don't have to respect it. I'm throwing the ball out to Draymond or Iguodala at the three-point line. I don't care if it takes a second for me to recover. I want them to kind of shoot that shot.
I had a point.
it's so spicy, it's just percolated in that beautiful brain of yours.
That's pretty much what it's like for Toronto to recover on a Golden State player not named Klay or Curry. They can take a deep breath and get out there because they don't have to worry about it.
All I was going to say is in the first half, when the Warriors led, because obviously the Raptors didn't hold their first lead until like 10 or 11 minutes in the second half, left in the second half. In that first half, the Warriors had plenty of chances, too, to really extend that lead and extend that game. They were sloppy with the basketball once again. I think they had 11 first-half turnovers or at least 10, and that's been their MO. If they don't take care of the basketball, when they get a little bit too pass-happy trying to make the right decisions, that's when issues happen. But like you said, Jack, I think the ball movement for Toronto was fantastic. There's a few times where Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka really got some nice looks at the rim just by guys making the extra pass or drawing in Kevon Looney out of the paint and giving some more space.
And also another thing that stuck out in this series in this game as well is a couple of the Raptors players able to recover in transition, get into a position where, hey, Draymond or Iguodala might have started to break in against other teams. They might get a shot at the rim. Gasol, Kawhi, Siakam, Ibaka have all done a great job of kind of protecting the rim in transition and just preventing Golden State from getting those easy baskets we see against a lot of teams.
I saw some stat on Twitter when Serge Ibaka was out there either in the third or early in the fourth where, you know, in his last 32 minutes of playing time, he's had 8 blocks. That's insane. Like, I think him off the bench has been, you know, a masterstroke. And I really love how Nick Nurse has used him throughout this series. I think There's been lineups where they've played two bigs that I think have been really effective a lot of the time. Obviously, just recognizing the matchups. I think Nick Nurse has done a much better job, you know, to an extent, out coaching Steve Kerr. And I think a lot of it has to do with the personnel available at the same time as well. Having healthy personnel certainly does help. But I think Nick Nurse has done a great job. You know, when Kawhi was sitting in that early fourth quarter for the first 2 minutes, it was like, well, can they hold on here? And they, you know, they maintained the lead, and there were times where they sort of extended it a little bit.
Through games 1 through 3, Serge Ibaka had 18 total points. He had 20 tonight. And he had three. He's been – the last three halves of basketball for Ibaka have been amazing. Second half of game 3 was tremendous defense, obviously finished with 6 blocks. And tonight was just an all-around awesome performance. And I'm also really happy for Serge Ibaka. You know, obviously the OKC years were – they never fully got that title. Obviously, they came up short the 1 year. So, like, I'm actually like really happy to see Ibaka having this sort of impact in the finals, especially off the bench, because they needed it tonight once Van Leek got hurt too.
And then he had that mini run with Orlando for like a half a year,
which is weird. Yeah. You forget about those weird.
Yeah. And then he ended up with Toronto, and they made a really good trade, giving up a late first round pick and Terrence Ross for that. So that worked out really well. Another thing that stuck out tonight, turnovers, 17 for Golden State, 9 for Toronto. And it felt like a lot of those Toronto turnovers came early in the game. And then after that, they kind of solidified themselves, got some poise, and they were good to go.
Yeah, definitely. I think that throughout this series, guys, Joel Embiid just tweeted out in all caps lock, regrets. Did you guys see that?
No, but that's not a surprise. I don't know what he's regretting, but
he's inserting himself into the conversation about things of like, really, like, what are you regretting over? Like, you were outplayed by one of the best players of the past couple of years and one of the best players in the league right now. I don't think you guys would have done this well against the Golden State Warriors. Maybe they would have. I don't know. That's a question we could ponder for another day.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's Joel Embiid, though.
Maybe he wants Kawhi. Maybe that's the regret. They didn't trade for Kawhi.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, I like that a lot.
They could have. I mean, there was a talk about the Celtics regretting they didn't trade for Kawhi. All they had to give up was Jalen Brown. I mean,
that's a yikes. Brown. That's a yikes moment. Terry Rozier probably and Jalen Brown was the
– and probably one of the picks. Trade, like, probably. I think if Boston like doesn't win a championship in like the next 3 years, which is unlikely that they do, I think they'll look back at this entire era of having all these Nets picks as a regret, because they had opportunities to trade for a lot of really good players. And they're always like, oh, we'll get them in free agency. We'll get them for free, or, you know, without making a trade. And it's never really worked out. And all of a sudden they never ended up in the finals.
Yeah, I think that there's so many different things that you sort of look back on, you know, either fondly or not fondly. I think a lot of teams, you know, I think that the fit that Kawhi has in Toronto right now and the way that they've sort of done everything around him in terms of treating him and sort of his rehab and just resting him, load management, the sort of new NBA word of this season has been, you know, certainly making the waves. I think that this sort of run, I mean, we talked about a little bit on the Buzz as well. I think that Kawhi Leonard, do you guys have a take either way? If the Raptors lose, does that mean Kawhi Leonard's more likely to leave? And if they win, he's more likely to stay? Is there any sort of difference?
Go first, Corey.
For me personally, I still think if I'm Kawhi, I leave no matter what. Personally, I still feel that way. And it's
Toronto,
not...
hater.
Not even that. It's I look at the long term, and even if he signed, I know there's rumors that he would sign a short term deal, right? A 2-3 year deal, give him flexibility, right? Or a 1+1, which was what the top stars seem to be doing to get as much money as possible as the cap keeps rising. But I look at guys like Lowry, who once again was inconsistent tonight. Obviously, what he gives you defensively, you can't discredit. He's a fantastic defensive player. But when he's actually scoring like he did in game 3, this team is almost unbeatable when he can actually score. But he's inconsistent. Marcus Gasol is older. Serge Ibaka is older. Like, I just see a lot of old guys on this team. Danny Green's really consistent because he's getting older. Like, I just think if I'm Kawhi, I'm saying, like, I'm playing with a bunch of old guys. This might be their best last chance to win a title. So, like, maybe I do the best I can this year. If I win, if I don't win, it's whatever. We had a nice run, and I go elsewhere. I'm not saying that happens, but that's how I see it if I'm Kawhi.
So, I think if they win, he's more likely to stay. And if they were to lose in the fashion being up 3-1 and lose this series, I think he's more likely to leave. If they were to just lose this series, like, in a regular way, go up 2-1 and then lose, like, in 6 games or something, I don't think it has much of an impact. But if they were to go up 3-1 and then lose, I think that has a bigger impact on him, because it's like, all right, this team just straight up choked. Like, and I've done my thing most of the series.
Yeah, I'm neither here nor there. I think he's going to the Clippers either way. I sort of spoke about it on the Buzz, so take a listen to that if you want to hear my thoughts on it. I think that Kawhi Leonard, you know, has that. He's in that sort of superstar range where I think he's going to want a little more money. And I think that I'm not sure if that's his number one thing that he's going to value, obviously, the extra year that he could get in Toronto with the rights that they have over his free agency. And even if he just signs that deal and he sort of demands a trade, you know, yes, or a sign and trade of some sort. It could happen. But, you know, they haven't closed out this series yet. They've still got one more game to go. And that one game, that last game, is always going to be the hardest one when you're right there and you can taste it. But you've got to get over that hump first. In general, guys, the question that's been making the waves I've seen on NBA Twitter right now is Toronto healthier or better than the Golden State Warriors, or is it a combination of both?
Before you answer that, here's a stat I just got on my phone. The Raptors have won 13 of the 16 quarters so far this series.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. But to answer Jack's question, I think they're just healthier. Like I said, Kevin Durant is substantially better than any player they're going to replace him with for 40 minutes. Their team jumps up to another tier when they add a player like Kevin Durant. So not even just offensively, too. Defensively, I think he adds a lot to the team. Just having that size going against guys like KD. I mean, going against guys like Kawhi, Siakam, even Serge Ibaka to an extent. So, I mean, I think they're just healthier right now. And it's like you pay a price when you have such a star-studded lineup and a lot of your money's allocated to three or four spots in your roster, especially one being Kevin Durant, and you don't have him, and you have to play guys like we talked about, McKinney, Iguodala, who can't really shoot at this point, obviously brings other things to the table, or Jonas Jerebko in the past games, whatever it may be. I think the drop-off is just really big from Kevin Durant, who I know Jack thinks is the best player in the NBA. So now I think it's just health. It's health. Like, the Raptors are deeper, but they're not better in terms of overall talent.
Yeah, man, you look at it like this, too. None of the Raptors starters have missed a game this series. The Warriors have one guy, arguably the best player in the league, not play a game yet. Their third best player missed the game. And DeMarcus Cousins, for whatever he's worth, he's normally a starter, and he's been able to play one good game, and then he's given you 28 minutes of garbage, basically, aside from that.
I think that as soon as I sort of saw this sort of back and forth, I was just immediately like, it's both right now. You know, they are healthier and that makes them better. They are better right now. They're playing better basketball. You know, obviously you can't sort of analyze something that isn't there. It's like the whole Chris Paul, Andre Iguodala thing. It's the LeBron James without Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love thing. You know, you can hypothesize, but you know, where is that going to lead you? Obviously it's fun chat. It's fun fodder. But right now, Toronto is playing better basketball. They're better coached. They're executing better on both ends. And like Corey said, 13 or 16 quarters reflects that and then some. You know, if Kevin Durant comes back at all, how much does that change things? I know a lot of people are on the fact that, you know, it was going on in the group chat today that, you know, it's not even a calf injury anymore. You know, there's all the rumors that are spreading around. So I guess that's the next question we should probably address, guys.
Is he going to be back?
I'm going to go no. Oh, man, I don't even know anymore. Corey, I'm going to let you go, and then I'm going to go off whatever you say.
So first, what I want to say is Alder pointed this out. Kevin Durant, because these rumors really came out today, I feel like. The Achilles injury spiked up today when it was ruled that he was out again. And Durant posted on his Instagram story something about, like, not believing rumors or, like, it doesn't matter. And at first I thought maybe he's talking about, like, the Kyrie Brooklyn thing. And I was like, this is probably about the Achilles shit of, like, guys, relax. Like, if I was seriously hurt, you would all know type of stuff. And I made this prediction before the game, so now I'll let it rip on air. I predicted the Raptors to win. No, the Raptors to win game four, go up 3-1. Durant comes back in game five, I think. And I'm going to roll with we'll go over predictions in a second, but I think Durant's back in game five.
Yeah, I think that, as Jared Dudley said on Twitter, quote tweeting Trae Young, it's now or never. It's do or die for the Golden State Warriors. An incredibly hostile environment in where a whole country is literally against you, and probably I think it was like 48 or 50 states or something against you as well.
And the Raptors.
Yeah.
Definitely some rappers, probably. I mean, realistically.
Just hold on. They're going home, as Drizzy Drake would say. But I think that I think he's probably back. I think that he'll want to be back. But, you know, depending on the extent of the injury, we generally find out after the series what happens. You know, I can't imagine, you know, Kevin Durant coming out and having a press conference with, like, you know, his medical report on the table, like LeBron James did when he had the cast on his hand. I don't think he's that sort of media sort of performer. I think KD likes to keep things a bit more under wraps. But, I mean, he has to come back, doesn't he? I mean, this is it.
Yeah, it's a missed opportunity for him in terms of, like, his career and his legacy. Not saying it's his fault, but having more finals games is obviously going to help him, especially if he puts up a big performance. I feel like if he doesn't play in game five and the Warriors even still somehow win, I don't think he plays the rest of the series. Because I think if it was now or never, like you said, Jack, he's playing game five or he's not playing the entire series. And the question is, too, is, like, is he even going to be healthy enough to really be, like, 80% Kevin Durant? Because I saw something about, like, Jalen Rose – making a comment that KD did not look good when he was trying to warm up and, like, practice out there.
Well, a calf injury is notoriously tricky to sort of get around. And I know when Clay was talking about the comparison between his hamstring, like a muscle injury in comparison to his ankle, the high ankle injury that he was able to deal with, because you can re-injure it in really negative ways. And, you know, you can cause some complications and, you know, just the general strength of the muscle going forward. I think KD, at the end of the day, more than anything, I think we know about him, or the people that don't know about him, he wants to play basketball more than any other. We've seen these really sort of cool videos of him sort of waiting out in the foyer, you know, high five and dapping up his teammates. You can tell it's killing him that he can't be out there. And Clay was lucky enough to get back tonight. I think that, you know, the hamstring injury for him wasn't as serious. I think a hamstring is a little bit easier to recover and less complicated to recover from than a calf strain in general, or an Achilles, whatever it might be. There's a lot of muscles down there. I'm not a medical professional, but he has to come back.
Yeah, I mean, it's really intriguing. And there's also, like, a small possibility, like you said, we're not medical professionals out here. He could have a calf injury and it caused him to aggravate his Achilles. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibilities. Overcompensation is pretty common.
Yeah, exactly. Like we sort of said there, Nick, because there's just, like, it's like with, you know, when you do an ankle injury, you're going to have, like, less strength in your foot and all the muscles around there. And then that can cause, you know, other injuries to other parts of your leg going up. And when it comes to, you know, you compensate for on your other foot, and then that means you're more likely to do an ankle injury on your other foot. So he might, you know, calf strains lead to, and on all injuries. I remember learning when I was doing exercise science at university 4 years ago that the most, you know, the biggest determiner of having an injury is doing one in the first place. If you have an injury, you're going to get injured again. It's generally fait accompli. So what's the likelihood for you guys? Like, how confident are you that KD does come back? I know we love to give our percentages here. So give me some numbers.
I mean, I would have to say 80%. I just don't see Durant going out of this Warriors tenure not playing in this series. I just feel like, I mean, if he can't play like Nick said, he ain't playing the rest of this series. I think literally this is the game we're either going to see him come back or not. I kept thinking in my head, even when as this series developed, that even if the Warriors won tonight, we wouldn't see Durant unless they were down in the series. Like, if it was 3-2 or 3-3, like, I only thought once the Raptors hit three games, that was where we were going to see Durant. And I think that's what the case is. I think we have to see him in game five, 80% chance.
Yeah, I thought we were going to see him come out in the second half tonight. No, just kidding. I guess I'll go with a 70% chance. Like, it kind of scares me because going into the series, I really anticipated him playing in game four. Like, I thought game three was a maybe. If they went down 2-0, all right, we're going to whip KD out in game three. But the fact he didn't play tonight was almost as surprising as Toronto winning game four. Like, I expected him to be out here by tonight. That's what kind of concerns me. Actually, I'm going to drop down to like 60% because I'm really concerned that he didn't play tonight. Like, I think that he would have played tonight if there was a good chance for him coming back for the series.
Yeah, I think in the finals more than any other time is when injuries are kept under wraps, you know, to the greatest extent. I remember Kyle Lowry going on the jump with Tracy McGrady, and he was talking about he let it slip, you know, getting the jabs, you know, getting the needles before the games, sort of painkillers. There's no doubt that, you know, probably Kawhi Leonard is certainly dealing with an injury, but we haven't necessarily talked about that because he's just been gargantuan. You know, the quad injury that he suffered in the earlier series, and he's still performing like a mastermind. You know, Stephen Curry's injuries as well, you know, the sort of hand injuries that he's been dealing with. Klay obviously is, and, you know, we know about Kevon Looney's. It's just we don't know what is going on with Kevin Durant. There's all the conjecture around it, which makes for fun chatter with us and NBA Twitter in general. But it's almost like you would rather get the you'd rather put it all out there to take the burden off Kevin Durant, because there's going to be, you know, plenty of naysayers, and I can imagine some burner accounts and some Instagram trolls going at him if he doesn't play in game five, and how that affects his mentality, how that affects his sort of free agency status. You know, this one game could determine the trajectory of the league for the, you know, next 5 to 10 years.
And how do you guys think that'll impact his trajectory in terms of the offseason? Like, is this make him more likely to stay at Golden State if they get knocked out here and lose in five games, or he can't come back, or he comes back and they do lose? If he comes back and they win, what are your thoughts on how the rest of the series and KD's return impacts him in the offseason? And does it have any impact on Klay Thompson as well?
Well, I think Klay's staying no matter what. I think that's, you know, so you can probably lock that down. The Draymond Green one, I think, isn't being talked about enough either. But I think Kevin Durant is as good as gone. I've made my thoughts known, and they've been criticized plenty by the guy who hosts this and runs the website.
I was not criticized. We debated.
I know. I'm joking. I'm just throwing it out there. But I think that in the heat of the moment, yes, it's going to have a huge impact. But, you know, you have, you know, some time to reflect on it. I think, you know, looking back, you know, there'll be plenty of like naysayers going, oh, you know, he's soft, blah, 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 all this sort of stuff. Or Klay could still get up. You know, Kawhi could still do this. You know, I think Kevin Durant at the end of the day is an adult. He's a man, and he is a person. He's just going to do what he believes and will fulfill him as a basketballer and a human being. Does that mean coming back with the Golden State Warriors? Does he have that itch and desire to get one back? Does he feel like he owes them? Does he feel like he owes himself in that sort of respect? Or is he going to go to, you know, one of the New York teams or Los Angeles teams because that's where his desires and motivations are? I've got no idea. I feel like Kevin Durant, despite the fact that he puts everything out there into a much fuller extent than a lot of other NBA superstars, is still quite guarded when it comes to the more important stuff. You know, we heard Rich Kleiman the other day said he has made a decision. I think that he's leaning and changing and twisting and turning. I've really got no idea.
Hopefully his good friend could persuade him where he wants him to play, but that's for another day.
I mean, I think if they lose, there's more of a chance he comes back. I think there's more motivation, as you kind of mentioned, Jack. I mean, if you lose, then maybe the entire team kind of gets more unified. Like, wow, like we had all this talent and we got screwed by injuries and we lost a chip we should have had. So maybe there's that run it back mentality. I mean, I think if they won, then it was easy that he was going to leave, in my opinion. I think if they do lose, there's a slight chance, but it still feels like this is it. It just kind of felt like that all year. We've obviously heard about the Draymond and Kevin Durant feuds early in the year where Draymond threw that at Durant. You're like, you're going to be gone anyways, basically. So why do I care? So, you know, and obviously you care because you really do need Durant at this point in time with the rest of the roster developed. But it feels like he's probably going to leave still.
Before we get our final predictions, we're going to give away the Kawhi t-shirt. So I'm going to go to the chat and make my pick. I'm going to go with SSV. Longtime supporter on YouTube, get that free Kawhi t-shirt. So make sure you message us on Twitter at OTG Basketball. Send that out for you. And like we mentioned before, giveaways after every recap of the finals. Now there might only be one more game, so make sure you get on game five. But guys, what are your predictions for game five, and have your predictions for the entire series changed now?
Yeah, I thought Golden State would win. I think the Raptors will win the series, but I mean, I can't doubt the greatness of this team, and I can't count them out until they're given that knockout blow. And I think that there is a strong likelihood that it could happen, but I think that they've built up such a great amount of respect from, you know, the NBA public in general. And yes, there's plenty of hate, and Draymond knows that, and everyone else knows that, but I still back them in to win this game and maybe even win this series. I was sort of putting out, you know, imagine, you know, the 3-1 jokes that would come if they were to somehow come back, and, you know, with Kevin Durant and all the rest and the storylines that would surround that. I think that Kevin Durant comes back, and I think that, you know, Golden State steal one, and we continue this series in Oracle for another one.
All right. Well, it's my tweets have to be gaining a lot of traction since the game ended. Like, people are now going back and liking it. So I'm probably going to get this thrown in my face. But if Durant plays in game five, then I think the Warriors win this series. I think they come back and they win. And they win this in seven. If Durant doesn't play, I think the Raptors do win this series and end it. But I got a hot take. I think the Warriors are going to win this series. They've come down from 3-1 before.
Oh,
so
I almost feel like jumping on Corey's hot take right here. I agree with the fact if KD doesn't play in game five, that I think the Raptors are going to handle it because there's just not enough spacing for Golden State. It would take like Clay and Curry to both drop like a combined 80 points for them to win. So without KD or without at least 80% KD, give it to the Raptors. But I'm going to say if KD returns his push to the seven, I can't make my final prediction until I see what he looks like.
Yeah, that's recent. Yeah, of course you get to get out of it because you're the one that asked the question and you're the one that...
Hey, you've done it a couple times in the show. I don't think I didn't notice.
little bit of an update. There's been a lot... Speaking of traction, I put out a poll in terms of, you know, who would you rather have, Kawhi or Stephen Curry? And I will quote a lot of people saying recency bias is a funny thing. 59% sorry, for Kawhi Leonard and 41% for Stephen Curry.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something to consider. And then obviously, yeah, I think it could change year by year. Like last year, people would have definitely said Curry because Kawhi wasn't playing. And then, you know, year to year, it's just always going to change. But
at the J-Man JBT, if you want to check me out, and K-Wall Hoops is doing some nice stuff, and at OTG Nick isn't too bad either.
I guess, you know, and at OTG Basketball. But guys, any other final predictions before we get out of here?
Is Nick Cavallo still getting some sort of tattoo? If
yes, we are going to make sure that happens. And we're going to make it posted on Twitter.
Live on air. We need to go and give him the access to the YouTube account, and we need someone to film him and do a live stream of him getting a tattoo if it happens. I want to try
the Raptors tattoo on his ass, if I'm not mistaken.
Nice.
I'd certainly enjoy watching and
seeing like, that. Let me pause on that real quick. You're like, I don't know if I want to say I would enjoy.
I would certainly enjoy watching.
I would definitely enjoy. Come on, dude. It's one of our dudes getting a tattoo on his derriere. You can't dislike that at all.
Yeah, I think you'd be happy for him too, especially considering what's happened to the Raptors the last couple seasons in the postseason. It's been rough, so they kind of deserve it. It'd be good for a lot of their players. As always, thank you, Corey and Jack. Thank everybody for listening and viewing, whatever it may be. iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube.
Peace out, knuckleheads.